4. 1 Samuel chapter 24. We got down through verse number 7. If you're keeping an outline, we looked at number 1, David's test, verses 1 through 4. He had an opportunity to kill Saul. They were in a cave, him and his men. Saul was left alone, which was a big no-no, leaving the king alone. He went into the cave to relieve himself, and the men wanted him to go ahead and kill Saul. They wanted revenge, but David showed mercy. He cut a little portion of the hem of Saul's garment, and he was extremely upset over that, which leads to number 2, David's turmoil, verses 5 through 7. He was under conviction for cutting the edge of Saul's robe because he felt it was an act of disrespect that would declare that the kingdom was transferred to him. But what he meant, of course, he meant it to show that he didn't want to kill Saul, and he could have. Which leads to number 3, David's testimony, verses 8 through 15, David's testimony. And so let's go ahead and read. We already read, so I said we weren't going to reread it today. I remember saying that. It just came back to my memory bank. So we're not going to reread it. We'll start reading with chapter 25. Let's go ahead and go through a couple of things here. David respected the office of king, so he showed humility and respect. David, in verse number 8, arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, which took extreme courage. My lord the king, showing respect. When Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed. So he prostrated himself before the king. And then he literally asked, "Why do you listen to the words of men?" Why, King Saul, do you listen to the words of men? Behold, David seeks thy hurt. Listening to men who are saying that David wanted to do you evil. Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how the Lord hath delivered thee today into mine hand. He said, I could have killed you, but I had pity upon you. And then he cut the edge of the robe. He showed it to Saul. Proving that he did not have any evil intentions. He did not intend to kill him. He could have, but he didn't. And then David pled, really, I guess he was asking the only fair and impartial judge to choose who was right and who was wrong. He said in verse 12, the Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of or on thee, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. So he basically said, let the Lord decide our fates. Let the Lord decide our fates. He wanted Saul to know that he was not a rebel. He didn't seek to do any evil or harm to Saul. And God would ultimately judge, which leads to number 4, David's triumph. David's triumph, verses 16 through 22. I want to go back just for a moment. Verse number 13. As saith the proverb of the ancients, wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but mine hand shall not be upon thee or against thee. When you think of the human way of doing things, well, let's start with the divine. The divine is we repay, God repays good for evil, right? God will often bless in spite of us because we're all evil. We're all of sin comes short of the glory of God. The man's way of doing things, if someone does good to us, we do good back, right? But the satanic way of doing things is to repay evil for good. And that's exactly what we see in the world, especially more so now than we ever have in our nation. People doing good and getting repaid, being treated as though they're evil. It's a tragic time in our history. Thankfully, things are beginning to change. We pray that we'll continue to change. But God repays good for evil. Man repays good for good. Satan, of course, repays evil for good. And so that's what's brought out here. And even as Saul speaks. And then in verse 14, after whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea? And David is speaking of his lowliness and his commitment to God's cause. He wanted to do God's will. And then verse 17, Saul recognized David's right to be king. Amazingly, he said to David, thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good. You've dealt well with me. I did evil to you. I've rewarded thee evil. I've dealt evil with you, but you have done good to me. And thou hast showed this day how that thou hast dealt well with me, for as much as when the Lord hath delivered me into thine hand, you didn't kill me. For if a man find his enemy, will he let him go away safely, literally? Wherefore the Lord reward thee for that thou hast done unto me this day. And then he says it very specifically, and now behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king. Then why was he trying to kill him? Why was he fighting against the will of God? It shows how Saul was influenced by Satan himself. When evil would come upon him, a demon would come upon him, he was illogical. Samuel had told him, of course, that David would be king in chapter 13, also in chapter 15. And Jonathan told him in chapter 23. So he knew, didn't he? Now you might think, this is great. David is safe now. Saul's going to stop chasing him. No, it doesn't last. It doesn't last. Swear now, therefore, unto me, verse 21, by the Lord, that thou wilt not cut off my seed after me, and that thou wilt not destroy my name out of my father's house. So who was Saul thinking about? Himself again. Yeah, and his family. Not about the will of God. Instead, he's thinking about his household. David swore unto Saul, and Saul went home. But David and his men got them up into the hold or the fortress. Now, all of Saul's family would die except his grandson. Remember, his crippled grandson, and David took him under his wing and really blessed him. And so David was indeed a man of honor. Now let's get into chapter 25. You ready to spring ahead? In chapter 25, we find four events that show us how David interacted with four different types of people. And we're going to follow Wiersbe's outline in chapter 25 to give him the credit he deserves. We're going to look at number one, David loses a friend. David loses a friend. And then number two, David discovers an enemy. David loses a friend. It's just one verse, verse 1. That two, David discovers an enemy, verses 2 through 13. And then number 3, David takes a wife, verses 14 through 44. So we've got 44 verses. We're not going to read it all. We may get through it because basically going to do a running commentary on it. Let's go ahead and have two of you read through verse 13. So George, if you'll do 1 through 7, and then if someone will take 8 through 13. 8 through 13? Anybody? Going once? Going twice? Miss Betty? All right, go ahead, George. 1 through 7.
And Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in his house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Hebron. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife was Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of David. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep, and David sent out 10 young men. And David said unto the young men, Get you up to Carmel, and go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus shall ye say to him that liveth in prosperity, Peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shears. Now thy shepherds, which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them all the while they were in Carmel.
Ask thy young men, and they shall show thee. Wherefore let the young men find favor in thine eyes. For we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand, unto thy servants, and to thy son David. And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David, and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, Who is David, and who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants now, a days that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shears, and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? David's young men turned their way and went again, and came and told him all these things. And David said unto his men, Gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword, and David also girded on his sword, and they went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff.
All right, thank you both. David loses a friend, verse number one, and Samuel died, and all the Israelites. Now, obviously, the whole nation didn't gather around. When he died, of course, he was the only judge that influenced the entire nation. And, of course, he was a prophet as well. He was the last judge, and he was a prophet. And so all the leaders, the elders, and the leaders of the nation gathered together and lamented him. And unlike Saul, that built a monument for himself long before he died, he already has a monument built in his honor. Samuel was an unassuming man, though he was such a powerful man of God. He was buried at home, which was quite humble. David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran, a desert area in the northeast region of the Sinai Peninsula, if you want to know where it's at. And then they shifts gears and goes into talking about a man in Maon whose possessions, some translations have work, were in Carmel. The man was very great. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Carmel was a vineyard land, a garden spot where that's where Saul put up his monument in chapter 15, verse 12. You can read about that. And so while they were in the wilderness, it was shearing time. And so you can imagine how much area it took for 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And so David and his men, since they were in that same area, thought, well, we'll just kind of keep a watch, because during shearing time, other peoples would come and they would seek to steal the sheep. They would plunder them. So David and his men watched over this man Nabal, as he's introduced in verse number 3, and his wife's name was Abigail. Abigail's name means my father is joy, quite the opposite of Nabal, whose name means fool, among other things, and we'll talk about that here in a bit. Well, she was an extremely intelligent woman, had a lot of wisdom. She was beautiful. But the man was, and I love, here's another one of those, one of my favorite, oh, I just love the KJV words, churlish. I use that all the time. You use that, Scott?
No.
No, you don't use churlish. Yeah, that's quite a word. Of course, it means harsh. He was a nasty fella. He was a baser fellow of the lewd sort. Another great KJV phrase that you find in the Bible. He was evil in his doings, and he was the house of Caleb. Somebody tell me about Caleb. Bill, tell me about Caleb. Remember Caleb?
He was the one with Joshua when they went out to the tent. And he was also the one that took, I forget which part it was of Israel, when they conquered it. He said, I'm going to go take it myself.
Yeah, so what kind of man was he?
He's
a strong man of faith. Only two of the 12 spies said, yeah, come on, we can take the land. Are you kidding me? It's nothing. No problem. The other 10 said, man, there's giants over there. No way. And here's one of his ancestors, Nabal, complete opposite, wicked, selfish, godless. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear sheep, David and his men. And so David sent 10 young men. After they had protected the flocks of Nabal, he said, you know what? I got all these men, and we eat a lot of food. We need a lot of food. And this guy is wealthy. He's got all these sheep and all these goats. Let's find out if he'll pay us for what we've done for him. I mean, that's the least he can do. So he sent 10 young men and said, go to Carmel, go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. So he sent 10 men to collect. And thus shall you say to him that lives in prosperity, peace be both to thee and peace to thine house. Literally, have a long life. And peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shears. Now thy shepherds which were with us, we hurt them not. So he said, you know, we have not done any harm to any of the shepherds. We have not taken any of the sheep. There's nothing missing. We haven't taken any of the goats. They're all still accounted for. Ask thy young men and they will show thee. If you don't believe us, they'll tell you how we did not do any dishonor to them. And so Nabal was going to have a special day of rejoicing over the abundance of sheared wool. And we'll see more of that in verse number 11. He said, hey, how about letting us come and be a part of that feast? We'd like to celebrate with you. We had a good part in allowing you to be able to celebrate by protecting you and your sheep and your goats and your men. So they spake to Nabal, verse number 9, according to all those words in the name of David. And then they waited. They waited for the response. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? Now, obviously, he knew who David was, didn't he? Everyone knew who David was. Everyone in Israel knew. He knew. He was pretending ignorance to keep from doing the right thing. There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. So shall, I want you to notice how many times we see I and my here in verse number 11. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? I think he had a little bout with self-importance. What do you think? Took all the glory, no glory to God. It was all him, and it all belonged to him, and he had no desire, even though he really did owe David and his men. He said, I don't care. I'm not giving them anything. So David's young men turned their way and went again and told David. Now, here's the interesting thing. David had a whole lot of reason to kill Saul, did he not? But because he was an honorable man and knew that Saul had been appointed by God and he realized that God would one day vindicate him, Saul would be taken down. David knew he was already anointed by Samuel. And so he realized that he would be king. But here he lost his temper and was willing to kill Nabal and his men. You see the contradiction there? Saul was trying to kill David, and David would not kill Saul. This man was just a selfish twit who wouldn't give him food. He was willing to kill Nabal over food, but he would not kill Saul, who was trying to kill him. David could have ruined his whole ministry right here in a fit of rage. But you see how careful we have to be? All we got to do is lose our temper one time, and we can end up ruining our lives. I mean, he had reason to be angry, no doubt about that. Well, David and his men put their swords on and got ready to, they had 400 men, 200 abode by the stuff. That's the baggage. All the stuff they brought, they watched the stuff while 200 went. But one of the young men told Abigail, and Abigail, of course, was a righteous woman. How she ended up with Nabal, obviously, it must have been some kind of forced marriage. She would not have married this guy. There's no question about that. I got a little drainage going on. I'm not sick. I don't have any disease that I'm aware of. Well, she found out about the wickedness of Nabal's actions. And behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. He flew upon them. I mean, he was, it's not even, all of it's not recorded in scripture here, how nasty he got. He was a wicked, vile man. He let them have it. He laid into them big time. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt. So Abigail understood what David and his men had done. They were not dishonored in any way whatsoever. We didn't miss anything. They didn't steal anything. As long as we were conversant with them or went about our business with them, we were when we were in the field. So she emphasized David's effective protection. There were a wall unto us. That's pretty secure, isn't it, a wall? The wall's going to get finished in Mexico. Along the border. What do you think of that? Other nations have to build walls to keep people in. We got to build them to keep people out. But this is a horrible nation, though. Huh? Aren't we horrible? Yeah, I mean, when the borders were open, anywhere from 10 to 21 million people came in. You know any other nations where that would be the case? I know there are other nations that have mass, you know, people coming in. I understand that, but not like here. I'm kind of partial to this place. You know what? I think I love America. What about you? All right. Hopefully this will clear up for the next hour. Then verse number 17. Now, therefore, know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a... Now, she's talking about her own husband here. He is such a son of Belial. Some translations have he's vile, a vile man, that a man cannot speak to him. He won't listen to reason. He won't listen to wise counsel. Remember, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. But the fool does not hearken under rebuke, does he? Won't listen to reason. He was an unreasonable, vile son of Belial, son of Satan. And Abigail said, we got to fix this. So she made haste, took 200 loaves. That's a lot of bread. You know that? 200 loaves and two jugs of wine. Must have been awfully big jugs, huh? Two jugs of wine, five sheep prepared. They were already dressed and ready to cook, ready to roast. Five measures, siyah, it's a siyah, it's It's not in the King James, but a seah is what it was. A seah is a little bit like 1.1 bushels. So a little more than a bushel. 5 bushels plus of parched corn, which is actually roasted grain. KJV put corn in italics there. 100 clusters of raisins, 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on asses. And she said unto her servants, go on before me. I'm going to put a cough drop in, and it'll break up this stuff again. Like I told you last time, if you see me turning purple, it means I suck this bad boy down in my windpipe. Come kick me aside, take my notes, and finish up. She said unto her servants, go on before me. Behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband, Nabal, because she chose to obey God rather than men. All right, so I didn't have you guys read, did I? I just kind of kept on going like a wild man here. So I'll have you start with verse number 20, okay? And we're not going to go read all the way through because we don't know how far we're going to get because we're almost done. It's 20 till. So how about if somebody reads verse 20 through 25. No, wait a minute. Through 26. Go ahead, Bill.
So it was, as she rode on the donkey, that she went down under cover of the hill. And there was David and his men coming down toward her, and she met them. Now David said, surely in vain I have protected all that this fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that belongs to him. And he has repaid me evil for good. May God do so and more also to the enemies of David, if I leave one male all who belong to him by morning light. Now Abigail saw David. She dismounted quickly from the donkey, fell on her face before David, and bowed down to the ground. So she fell at his feet and said, on me, my lord, on me let this iniquity be. And please let your maidservant speak in your ears, and hear the words of your maidservant. Please let not my lord regard this scoundrel, Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young man of my lord whom you sent.
All right, that's good enough. Yeah, let's stop there. I'm glad you stopped there, because I would have had you read and kind of stop in mid-thought. All right, let me write a date down here. All right, so Abigail comes up with a plan. Verses 14 through 19. This is underneath number 3. David takes a wife. Verses 14 through 44. Number 1 under that. Abigail's plan. Verses 14 through 19. And then Abigail's apology. Verses 20 through 35. And we're going to stop with the plan. Because I'll just get started. It's not going to do it justice. I have to repeat myself next time. And George hates it when I repeat myself. And I don't want him to get angry with me. Questions or comments about chapters 24 or the beginning of chapter 25? Anybody have anything? Any great words of wisdom or insight? All right, we're going to... Now, you got to remind me that Bill already read. We'll probably go ahead and have it read again, at least part of it. But I can't say for sure. A lot can change between now and next Sunday. Is that right, George? Mm-hmm. Thank you, sir. All right, continue to pray for our church. I got once a month I get a report from Google that tells how many people check our website, how many people have called, how many people ask for directions, that sort of thing. and in June, it might have something to do with the special day because we advertised. There was 118% increase in number of people that checked out the website. 118%, I forget the number, like 70-ish. So that's a big hallelujah. Anytime we can get the word out, anytime, because if you investigate the website enough, you're gonna see the gospel. So you never know, and all the messages are on. So I'm thankful for that. Pray for our nation. A lot of good's going on, a lot of evil as well. As no matter what our president does, it's wrong. I mean, he could walk on water and they'd say, you know, they'd come up with some reason why it's wrong that he did that. So pray for our nation. Pray for Israel and Ukraine. I don't know what's going on with Putin. I don't know if he's completely lost his mind or what, but he has a long talk with the president, and then turns around and has the biggest attack of the war against Kyiv. Drone attack. I forgot how many drones. Anybody know?
Hundreds.
Yeah, it was an incredible amount of drones. That's the future of warfare. That concerns me a lot. Drones. You know, how do you stop if somebody sends 400 drones over your area? How do you shoot them all down?
Shotgun.
Bird shot. That's how you get them down. A lot of bird shot.
Buckshot.
Buckshot. Yeah, that'll do it. You don't hit as many with buckshot though.
Salt shots.
Yeah. Pray for the situation in Iran. Of course, there's a lot of negotiating going on with nations around the world. And I think we're going to see some good things if the Lord allows it. Pray for law enforcement, our missionaries, Bill's Kidneys. They'll keep on going like the Energizer Bunny until the rapture occurs. Because we're all going out together, aren't we? We're not. You know, hang tight. Hopefully the rapture will occur soon. Continue to pray for Mark and Rhonda. Rhonda will give peace and joy to Rhonda in difficult days. Pray for her mom. Talked to Darlene, Gary's sister in Florida this week with leukemia. She's doing fantastic. She said, I'm doing great. Appetite's good. She's eating good. Her grandson is coming. Lives in Inwood. He's coming down to Florida to see her. And she's excited about that. Going to spend a week with her this coming week. Continue to pray for Regina, Kathy's niece. Scott's ankle's doing really good. He's God is really blessing. He's actually talking about joining a bowling league in September. He said, oh, yeah, it won't be a problem. I'm walking on it now. Not put all my weight on it, but I'm walking on it. So he's quite optimistic that he's going to be out there. If you're able to bowl in September, you should be able to golf in August. All right. Think about the weight I would have lost if I'd have been out on the golf course with Scotty. Even though we ride, we still got a lot of walking. All right. Pray for Stacy, George's mother, has surgery on the 14th. That's coming up quick. Pray for her salvation. Pray for Yvonne. Got a lot of good news, but she's got some bleeding. They still haven't found the source of it. So pray for her. Zeke is doing well. Hopefully the antibiotic will take care of the Lyme disease. They caught it early. Again, pray for them as they travel. Tammy Riggleman. Pray for her. That's a relative of the sister-in-law of Annadale. Danny Unger, tractor accident. Who put Danny Unger down? Was it Annadale? Okay. Eugene Cox, health. Gary and Kathy are back, so God answered our prayer, and they're safely back with us. And then pray. Rebecca said she's doing a lot better. Continue to pray for Ward. And again, don't forget, mark on your calendar, Lord willing, baptism. It'll be probably 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Is 3 o'clock good, Miss Rhonda? 3 o'clock in the afternoon on the second. What's the second Sunday of August? The 10th of August. Okay? That's write it down in pencil, okay? Because it's not, as far as I know, it's going to be in ink soon, but just in case. All right. Let's stand together and pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you and we thank you for those that came to Sunday school and studied the Word of God together. We so enjoy any opportunity we have to assemble together in fellowship and prayer and study. We ask, Lord, now that you would meet the physical needs of those we called out to you. Lord, you're aware of all that's going on. You are the great physician, the only one that ultimately can heal. And we pray for healing for those that we called out to you, if that be your will. We pray for our nation, Lord. You continue to draw us near to you. I'm thankful, though I don't know that President Trump is born again believer, probably not, but I don't know. You alone know that. But he is respectful of the things of God and the people of God. And I'm thankful, Lord, that he speaks of you. And I pray that others of our leaders would see the importance of seeking your wisdom, knowing that without you, Lord, nothing really great of eternal significance is going to happen. And so, Lord, please work in the hearts and minds of our leaders, both nationally and locally as well. And we pray that you'd end these crazy wars, the one in Gaza and the war in Ukraine, as there's continued destruction and death, and it's meaningless. It's a tragedy. It's so wrong. So, Lord, please break the heart of Putin and Zelensky that they can get this thing over with. I pray you give our president wisdom and others that are involved in talks as well. We pray, Father, that you would bless the coming hours. We again go to your word and seek wisdom from you and direction. God, help us to know that the Word of God is not some ancient book that's not relevant for today. It's very much relevant. And Lord, we need to heed the words that you have written for us, this love letter that you sent from heaven. Lord, may we submit ourselves to its authority and say yes to you and no to self. Lord, we pray you encourage those that are discouraged this morning. And if there's one that'll be here that's lost without the Savior, may today be the day of salvation. Bless now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.